Hello and welcome to the Mystic Cast, where you join Jack Stafford and Deborah Littleboy, members of the Aetherius Society, the cosmic religion for the Aquarian Age, as we break down the barriers between religion, science, metaphysics, philosophy, and mysticism, all of which are really only aspects of the self-same quest for truth. Please note, this is an independent program, not produced or fact-checked by the Aetherius Society. Today, our guest is storyteller, primal priestess, soul integration specialist, Cern Rowntree. Hello, Cern.
Hiya, it's Karen. Well, I'm really sorry, it's Karen. We should have checked that before we started.
Say again?
My name's Karen.
Karen? Oh, well, that's...
Should have checked that before we started.
I should have checked that, but we have a very understanding audience, so many times I get people's names wrong.
That's all right then. Okay. Hello. It's lovely to see you both.
It's lovely to see you too. So what should we start with? Storyteller, primal priestess, or soul integration specialist?
Oh, let's start.
I want to know. So I want to know. So this is important. I want to know about Project Earthwork. If you can just sort of give me or give our audience, give me, it's all about Deborah, give our audience how did it come about? Because I know that you're a founder. Why was you inspired to do it, and how can people get involved? If that's all right with you, Jack.
I'm fine with that.
Okay, so Project Earthwork is it's something that I started with a couple of friends of mine a few years ago. And really it came to be partly on some divine guidance that we were repeatedly being drawn to the idea of earth energy grids and the idea of really supporting the earth and all of her energy fields to flow more freely and to flow more, I guess, more bountifully in the way they once did. And then partly because, you know, as a group of friends, we really just wanted to do something together. We all work in the field of working with energy, of working with the soul, of working with nature. And we wanted to be able to come together and do something that supported the things that are close to our heart, that supported the earth, and that also offered us an opportunity to work together and us an opportunity to support people around the world. So every month we get together on Zoom like this, and we carry out a meditation, an energy activation, some spirit channeling, and all of the aim of that is to really build our connection, the connection of those who join us with the earth, and in so doing to support earth to raise her consciousness and us to really connect in to bring us back to a state of oneness with the earth and to bring us back to a state of that beautiful flow of energy that, you know, I always talk about it as a transpersonal ecosystem that we have with all of the many inhabitants of this planet and beyond, and to bring us back into that transpersonal ecosystem of the universe being in flow as it should be.
So how many people have you got in this group?
Well, there are three of us that run it. So it's a very, very small group at the top, but we generally have somewhere between, depending on the month, somewhere between about 20 and 100 people join us live every month.
Wow.
And then we have a few hundred more who watch back on the recordings. We have a Facebook group where people will come and share their stories of working with sacred sites, of tuning into the energies of earth, of things that they've experienced in their meditations. And I'll be honest, I'm not sure how many people are in that group at the moment, but I think there's probably a couple of hundred in there. So we're growing all the time. It's really interesting. And everything that we do in Project Earthwork is completely free. So it's really important for us that we keep that as accessible as possible. So people can join in those meditations for free and then just be part of what we're doing, really.
So are you trying to open up again the grid work? Is that what is? Are you working with the Earth's grid?
We are. Our aim is to, and our aim is really to help people to tap into those grids and work with them in the way that's right for them. Because, you know, I think there is a lot out there about the Earth energy grids, an awful lot out there. And it can often seem quite inaccessible. It can make it seem a little bit scary. Sorry, I have a noisy dog in the background. I'm hoping you can't hear her too badly. It can make it seem a little bit challenging to tune into and to work with. And what we really want to do is Sorry. What we really want to do is to allow people to tune in the way that actually works best for them. So, you know, we're firm believers that to work with the energy grids is really just however you connect to the earth in a way that is heart-centered, in a way that is done with love and done with the power of your soul, you will influence those energy grids in a positive way. So we're really big on sort of whether you are somebody who visualizes the actual grids and wants to really get in there and work with helping them to thrive and helping them to sort of rebuild in the way that they need to where they've been damaged, or whether you're simply somebody who has a little plot of land that they want to tend with absolute love and absolute joy, that in itself, that the piece of the grid that is under your land, the land that you call yours, that will thrive as a result of that. So we believe that everything we do that comes from the heart and comes from the soul and comes with intention will support those energy grids. So yeah, it's all about the energy grids for us.
And the word that really struck me in that is intention, because we're told within the Aetherius Society that you have to have single-minded focus. And the more that you can, because everything is where you think is where the energy flows to. So you have scattered thoughts, then you're sort of just throwing all over the place. So you need to have laser, sort of almost like laser vision or laser thought or laser intention. And then the better you get at that, the stronger and the more powerful, the more good you can do. I'm seeing you nodding, so that that's obviously what you and your members also find. Is that how do you try and train yourself to get to that ever increasing level of focusness? Do you have any sort of hints and tips that you can share on that?
I guess in a sense, Deborah, this is where it feeds into the soul integration specialist piece, because, you know, I know in the Aetherius Society, I was reading all about Dr. King in preparation for coming on this session, and that he used to do, was it 8 hours of yoga a day? And I am not that disciplined. I would not ever claim to be that disciplined. And, you know, that's not something that I could dream of doing, I don't think, at this point in life. And so for me, I think that the intention part of it and that focus is a lot about, rather than going, okay, how do I change my day to be focused on whatever it is that I'm aiming for? It's how do I change my focus so that whatever I am doing in my day is done from a soulful perspective? And for me, that's where soul integration comes into play, because I think that, you know, everything that we do can be done soulfully and with intention, absolutely everything. And, you know, sometimes we will have days that take us by surprise and aren't quite what we expect them to be. That's okay. You know, we don't have to let us, it's very easy, I think, especially in, you know, the early stages of a journey with soul, it's very easy to think that the influences of the outside world will shift our intention, because they can. As you say, thoughts can easily get scattered, and, you know, we live in such a busy and noisy world. The real power, I think, for me, and it's really simple, because it comes with time, it comes with training ourselves, but it can be as simple as a breath. It comes with that remembering that in the moment when we feel ourselves getting scattered, when we feel ourselves being pulled away to something that is outside of our intentions, let's just pause, breathe. Is this coming from my soul, or is this coming from something outside of me? And for me, that's where the intention always comes in, is in coming back to where is that power that lives within me, where is that wisdom that lives within me that I can live from? Because the intention of that will always be all the things that, you know, I know we all talk about, that we all are very passionate about. That is that intention. It is that idea of connection. It is that idea of wisdom. It is that idea of transcendence. It is that idea of power. It is that idea of supporting this beautiful planet and this beautiful universe to be all that they can be, so that we, and by we, I don't mean us as individuals, I mean all of us, can be all that we can be. And I think, you know, at first that can be challenging, but it really is just remembering to just take in those moments. You know, I have worked for a number of years as a therapist, and I always say there's a magic moment. There is a magic moment in what we're doing where we'll find ourselves getting carried away by those thought processes and those behavioral patterns that may have whisked us away into something else in the past, that may very well be about the outside world influencing us and taking us off on a merry dance. in those moments, if in that tiny magic moment we can just go, what's my intention here? And what is being shared from deep within me? We can come all the way back to that powerful intention. And it's in that place that we find a way forward that is more, I don't know, more supportive of everyone and everything.
Yeah, lots of parallels, Jack, with what, you know, we're very structured. I mean, our master, as you just said, 10 years, 8 hours a day, having on top of a full-time job, you know, to get to where he got to. So it's going to come with, so our training is going to come with structure as part of it. But the basic and most potent practice is the breath. And so we're told that when we find ourselves, before we do anything important, spend a couple of moments, going back to the breath. And we've got a set of six breathing practices, but you don't have to go through all six of them. Yes, if a part of your daily routine, you might do that. But if in the moment you start with the first one, and the first one is deep and even, follow the breath in, follow the breath out, in and out through the nostrils, feel it energizing the body. And it's like magic. It's like, oh, that was just within a few, you're a test to this as well, Jack. Within a couple of seconds, you've gone from that to, okay. And it's so underrated.
Yeah, they're doing martial arts training and many different, you know, people are waking up to it as well in all sorts of fields.
We were told that Dr. King said it was the most important thing, it needed to be taught in school before we teach the children ABC. And he predicted, that, if you like, prophesized that would happen. Let that bring that on. We need preschoolers doing it. We need mums teaching babies it. We need, you know, from that age is yeah. Anyway, so yeah, it's fabulous. So going back to Project Earthwork again, we believe that the earth is a living being. She's actually lent us our physical bodies to build so that we can experience life on Earth as a little replica, if you want to. And we also believe in that we have a Devic kingdom that takes care of the plants and the weather and everything, but it's all driven by thought. So our thoughts are important. So we have to clean up our act. It's not, you know, it's not okay thinking I don't like that person, but nobody knows because I've kept it to myself. No, you haven't. It's gone out there as dirty. So again, I see you nodding. Is that something that your little group sort of sign up to, that you need to keep everything focused in a goodwill to everything? Is that the...
Yeah, and I mean, I think there's a balance in that, isn't there? Because I think there's a... For me, I agree with you. And I think there is we also have to feel our emotions. And again, I guess this comes back to being trained as a therapist. You know, I think there can be a love that underlies anger. And we have to remember that sometimes. And there's a difference between, you know, an anger that is the state of the world burns in my heart and means I desperately want to do something. And an anger that is that person has X, Y, and Z, and I'm going to get them. There is a difference between those things. And I think that there's a real beauty in us learning to honor our emotions in a way that is rooted in love and in a way that is rooted in intention and a way that is rooted in soul. And so, yeah, I absolutely agree with you. I think the power of thought can be so, it is such a crucial thing when it comes to affecting anything and everything, because everything's energy and thought is energy. You know, we think that, or we have been led to believe in our modern age, that the only thing that really matters is the tangible The only thing that really matters is matter. When it's tangible, that's all that is important. But we know, we all know that's not true. The truth is it comes in energy, and thought is always energy. So thought will influence everything. And I think for me, the real power in that comes in learning to recognize our emotions and honor those emotions so that we can understand the love beneath them. Because it can be very easy for us, and you know, we talk about this a lot in Project Earthwork, that it can be very easy for us to feel the lesser emotions and let them carry us down a road of beating ourselves up as much as anyone else. And so there is an acceptance in ourselves that comes with coming back to the recognition. You know, we look at the way our beautiful Earth expresses herself, and she expresses herself with fire and with wind and with water. And, you know, she will shake. And we have to recognize that as replicas of her, as you say, we hold that within us as well. But she does none of those things from a place of hatred or a place of vengeance or any of those things. She does them all with love. She does them all from a place of trying to bring herself and us back into balance, into, you know, into whatever is to come from us in the age that lies ahead. She goes through these motions to bring us back there. And I think there is a power that comes when we recognize that that is also replicated within us.
That's beautiful. Yeah,
absolutely. And when you think about this, so we've got her, we have her body. What we've got here is her body. And so if we're thinking about war and fighting and nasty things, what we're actually doing is we're giving that to her, to her to balance. And so, you know, you can then see that actually it's us that's causing the earthquakes. It's us that's causing the typhoons. It's us that's causing all these problems. And that's really hard to swallow, isn't it? Until you realize that it's all energy.
That's a great way to explain it. Yeah, yeah.
So it's incredible. Jack, do you mind if I share the fifth blessing? Because I think it's
perfectly important.
We have teachings which were channeled through Dr. King. And a set of teachings which is very dear to us, which is a practical, metaphysical practice. It's called the 12 Blessings. It's given by the Master Jesus back in 1958 on 12 consecutive, thank you, Jack, Sundays. And what it means, just to sort of like to put it, what we do is that it's prayer. So in other words, we bless. We bring the energy in, up, out through our heart chakra, out through the chakras in the palms of our hands, to the point, focal point, and they progress, and it's progressive. So we've got, first of all, we start off with those that work for peace. So we send out to the group soul of peace. And of course, you would know that as you send it out, so it comes back. And then we build up to the wise ones and then those who love. So I won't go through the whole thing, but the thanksgivers is about the Devic kingdom. And I just wanted to share, because this is, I think this is for you and your group. So if you like, it's my little sort of, my thank you to you for what you're doing. And it says, blessed are the thanksgivers, for they turn great tides of energy and direct these towards their objectives. Blessed are they who have expended enough energy themselves so that they know of the existence of the Devic kingdom, and knowing this, live in eternal thanks for its work. Blessed are these ones. And again, it goes on, and I won't read the whole thing, but the essence is you're sending all this energy, not directly to the earth. We're sending it to the people that give thanks for the earth and all those beings, the Devic kingdom, that work behind the scenes. And it finishes on, oh, children of earth, walk ye into the night and thank your God for it. Walk ye into the dawn and thank your God for it. Walk ye into the sunset and thank your God for it. And you will be helping the silent workers to preserve balance for you. Thrice blessed are those who've done this, and this is now, by now. And it's almost like that fifth blessing for me is almost like you're giving it to the whole of the seen and unseen parts. And then, of course, it comes back, makes you stronger and you then able to build it on. So that's why my eye took on that, you know, because you've got this whole plethora of things that that in your toolbox of what you do. But it was the project Earthworks that so struck me that we so need people to champion what's important. And so thank you. I mean, thanks so much for that. It's incredible.
And thank you too, you know, because I think that I sometimes think that the biggest severance, the biggest challenge that came for our Earth was when we stopped seeing her as a living being and stopped seeing her as a loving being who graciously holds us all. You know, this is the thing I come back to time and time again in all of the work I do, that how can we ever feel lost or lonely or any of those things when we remember that we are held by the greatest supporter that we can ever be held by the you know, we are given the blessing of this Earth in so many ways, and she is always there to support us. And I think, you know, my Project Earthwork colleague Yolandi would be able to give time scales on this, but I'm not up there with the history, but how many thousands of years ago it was that we were severed from that recognition of the Earth as a living being that holds us, that we were severed from the recognition of the David Kingdom who you know, caretaking, who are there and who are looking after so much that we don't see. With that severance came such a loss, a loss of our own knowledge, a loss of our own safety, a loss of our own power, and a loss of our connection to the Earth, to the David Kingdom, to one another. And you know what? If every one of us, if through the work that you're all doing at the Aetherius Society, if through the work that we're doing at Project Earthwork, if even every single person in their own way can remember, and by remember, I don't just mean like think about it again. I mean bring back together those parts that have been severed, you know, reverse that dismembering. Everything can change. Everything can change for the better.
Well, I mean, I must have been after Atlantis. No? I mean, it must have been because Madame Blavatsky said the ring pass knot was put in place and after Lemuria and then extended after Atlantis. And, you know, we didn't used to need a match to light a fire, did we? We just could say a word or do a mudra. And now we're pretty involved.
Yeah. Now here we are with you know, my matches and with lighters that we have to click a button to do it. And we think, oh, we're so technologically advanced.
Yeah.
Forget, we've forgotten so much. Mm.
Yeah, and of course, we've got this whole thing that where the divine feminine is all about working together, you know, in a community. So if there's a problem in it, shared, so there's nothing's hidden and the community works it through. And you share, you know, on the harsh times, you share what you've got. Whereas we've sort of gone, that community, that divine, that divinity, the female divinity is that severance. We were, you know, the wise women were persecuted, but you know, for being witches, so they couldn't do their magic because they were persecuted. So again, we've got this imbalance of the masculine energy has overtaken the feminine, the protective, the working together, the community, the, you know, we're all, you know, that's the sort of the disconnect, I believe, or that wasn't the start of it, but that certainly sort of hammered it in our home that women were so downtrodden. or the feminine, that energy was so downtrodden and so unappreciated.
Well, I often quote that, Deborah, you shared that quote, we were taught to fear witches, not the people that burned them.
A book a couple of years ago called The Divine Feminist, and it was about this. It was about the need to rebalance our energetic balance. We talk about feminism, and of course that's important. You know, in the world, women should have equal rights. All women, all people, everyone should have equal rights. This is important. But actually, if we take a step back from that, I think there is such an energetic imbalance between the yin and the yang, or the masculine and the feminine, the solar and the lunar, whatever we want to call it, there is an energetic imbalance.
Mm.
And it is only when we come back to a place of that balance, that true flowing balance, that actually our world can change. And as we're recording this, I've just submitted my dissertation for my master's degree, and I've been working on the divine masculine, on actually looking at, well, what is the true masculine within us? Because my fear now is that, you know, there is absolutely a need for a divine feminine rising. And I love it. I love that we're in it, and I love being part of it and all of that stuff. And I worry that means that over time, we will find ourselves at the other side of this, that we will find ourselves so out of balance towards the yin side.
Oh, that's a really insightful insight. Yeah.
You know, then what happens? Then, you know, we will have so many beautiful things and we'll also miss things. So I've been really studying how we look at cultivating what is that yang energy within women. In a way that feels safe, in a way that feels supportive, in a way that feels healthy. And I had so many beautiful pieces of feedback from the, you know, it's a science degree, so I've had to do a proper study, which is not my field of expertise generally, but I did it. And so many of the participants came up with such beautiful things about how, you know, the feminine is the community, the feminine is the flow, the masculine is the structure that holds us. The masculine is the roots of the tree that ground us, while the feminine is you know, everything that goes on the surface. And I just think there is such a beauty to that and such a richness that I long for the day that we are in, as I say, this place of energetic flowing balance, because that's where the mudras will make fire. That's where we are able to, you know, we won't need a computer. We'll just be able to sit here and talk from mind to mind and all of that stuff. That's where the true power comes in, I think, when we're in that place of beautiful flowing balance.
And if you look at all the masters that came before, you know, like people say, why were they all male, you know, but they had to balance the karma. No, the bad stuff had been done by man. So the, you know, they incarnated to balance that, but they also embodied the female as well. I mean, Jesus was super masculine as well, throwing over tables when he had to, and, you know, being super, but he was also, you know, very feminine, very, very gentle, you know, the master of love. What's more, you know, feminine than that? So, yeah, we should be like them, perfectly balanced, the yin and the yang.
And I think as well, you know, one of the things I'm really passionate about is telling the stories of the women who have been forgotten, whose voices come to us through channeling, and whose stories are still there if we look hard enough for them. But, you know, these women have literally, to your points before about the witches, these women have been burned, they've been buried, they've been forgotten, they've been cast aside because they weren't given access to the same education, perhaps, things like that. You know, there are such powerful stories to tell from such illumined women over time that have been forgotten. And something I'm really passionate about, you know, the storyteller work part of what I do is I'm really passionate about telling the stories of both the women and the men that have been in those positions of great, you know, truth tellers and wisdom seekers that we can share, because there's a lot there.
Well, you're embodying the women with feminine energy because, you know, women are the teachers, aren't they? Women make men. So, and you have them for years. So there's, you know, you have to rise up and use your power and, you know, you have the power to model the world. You have the people on the world, aren't you? So.
Absolutely.
But also we need to remind people that we haven't always been, I haven't always been a woman, you know, you can, and our soul comes in to literally try and balance it. So I've come in now, Deborah's come in a female form, and I can see a lot of my masculine traits that I now I'm trying to open up, you know, to be more community spirited, as opposed to my do it on my own, because actually I can do it better than anybody else, can't I? They and all those, you know, they all get on my nerves. You know, that is very much, you know,
that's a great point. That, yeah,
that didn't come from, I didn't come from a great flowing feminine. No, that came from Deborah when she was practicing a masculine part and got really good and selfish at it. So we turn and we come in what we absolutely need for the next incarnation to balance not only ourselves, but to influence and balance everything around us. I got to take responsibility for the world it's in, because it's not all look at me. I'm a mum and a grandmum. So I must be all right. No, long way off of that. But yeah.
I wonder sometimes, you know, if we could all sit with our great soul's record book, whatever we want to call it, the record book of who this soul, the soul that is currently in Kerin, has been throughout all dimensions of time and space. I wonder what perspective we would have on all of these issues that we're talking about. You know, again, perhaps it's a severance, is that as so many of us think of our life as our existence as being this life in this body in this form. If we were able, all of us, to step back and look at who we had been throughout all directions of time and space and who we were to be and all of that stuff, I wonder what our perspective on so many of the issues that people get really frustrated and really wound up about would be now. I feel like it would be very, very different.
Oh, they would dissolve, wouldn't they?
It would be shameful.
And we can get to that stage. We're told that we can go read the Akashic records, but we've got to straighten ourselves up to be in a position that we can go and read it. And we're told that when we pass, we're actually given, we go to the wall of self-judgment, and we get to see everything that we've done. And so not as a punishment, but so we can work out, I didn't do that so great. Oh, and again, oh, did I really do that? Now, how many times did I have to go through that? And I still haven't learned it. So we're a beautiful stage now where people are beginning, the energies are rising. And as the energies, the vibration rise, we are actually able to reach these higher. They're all there. We limited ourselves. So as some of us are able to bring it down, we're feeding and nurturing those that can't quite get through it. And that's why I think that your work is so precious, and it needs to be, we need to share it. And we've got this fabulous masculine system now, structure that we can actually have these conversations and spread it. And we might use different words, and we might, you know, not see the parallels, but they're there. And when I'm speaking to you, you can feel it, can't you? You can feel it's there. It's very special to have sort of the picture and the word and the discussion is vital. So thank you, my Jack, because this is a IT guru.
I'm the masculine part, if you hadn't worked that out.
So he's just so great. I mean, I still just think it and think, well, everybody's going to get it eventually. But no, you have to turn your computer on these days, Deborah.
And we are really fortunate, aren't we? We're really fortunate that we have the platform now to do that. You know, think about people trying to do the work that we are all trying to do 500 years ago. It would have been an awful lot of walking. An awful lot of walking and an awful lot of having to stand on boxes in village squares. And now, you know, we can criticize the internet and we can criticize technology and many of us do and many of us will. But what a blessing it is when it comes to sharing these insights and when it comes to to, you know, working with this energy with one another, with people all around the world. So thank you.
Yeah. And if you could, I mean, you could even thank COVID for that. Because didn't that make us really communicate to bring our whole society up to an acceptance of speaking in this way? I would be left now. You guys won't remember this, but the red telephone box used to be press button A, press button B, and and I would have to go there if I wanted to, make a telephone call. I would still have that because I find that technology, it gets in the way of what I actually really want to be doing. But as you say, it's such a blessing. We couldn't do this work so effectively if it wasn't here. And if we didn't have people like Jack that's invested a whole, like, half a lifetime in knowing how to put things together. So yeah, we do need those both sides, is what I'm saying. That the masculine and the feminine both have their part to play.
Absolutely.
And we shouldn't get too bully, we don't need to let one bully the other, really.
It's the balance, isn't it? It's always that flowing balance. It always, there will be times we need to be more in our masculine, there will be times we need to be more in our feminine as individuals and as a collective. But it's the, I always come back to the idea of the yin yang symbol and the fact that in that symbol, they offer both sides of that energetic spectrum are always in flow. Each one contains just a little bit of the other. And that's how it works, is we just need to be able to be in that place of flow and balance.
I just like, if I can, to read, because when Deborah read the blessings, I thought you were going to read the seventh blessing, because I thought you might really appreciate that, Saren, bless it. I'll just read a short part, if I may, and it becomes self-explanatory. Blessed is the Mother Earth. Blessed is she who in sacrifice has made a space refuge for you all. Blessed is she who, instead of taking the unlimited gowns allowed to this goddess, did accept material limitation so that you, the lower aspects of God, could walk through experience back to God again. Blessed is the Logos of this earth, for she shineth like a sun doth shineth, yet of purpose she hideth this light beneath the bushel of a material form, which renders unto man sustenance. Blessed is the Logos of this earth. She weeps not when the vandals do tear her body with wounds. She weeps not when the fools do commit foul acts against the very nature which forms her fruits. As yet, man, she has borne you. I request most strongly now that you do not take such for granted. She has not, as yet, demanded that you change or leave. Thrice blessed is such a one as this, for by her wondrous selfless action she proves how near unto her source she really be. Thrice blessed upon all of her 100 stages is she, 7 times blessed upon all of her 49 cloaks is she, for she has illustrated the great love that of sacrificing salvation for another. It goes on, but it's very powerful. And Dr. King also wrote a book, Visit to the Logos of Earth, where he projected and went down to the center, and it just happens to be there. Deborah, could you speak, Deborah, so the camera goes to you? You have to make a sound, and Zoom will switch. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So here we are. This is it. Okay.
Yeah.
And look, we get to be each other's glamorous assistant for this. I really.
We need a bit of practice.
Yeah, we're practicing our yin and yang, aren't we, Jack?
We're trying.
And I think my favorite bit of what you just read, and there was so much of it that was really beautiful, was the bit about the I'm gonna mess up the quote, but the piece about, she's thrown off the veils of the goddess, the veils or the cloaks that were available to her as a goddess, and taken on the limitations of the physical. And I think, and the reason I say that is because I think there are so many people who are in the sort of the world of working with the spiritual, who when they first step into this line of thought, when they first step into seeing that the transcendence of the physical that we can see around us, they can look at our physical bodies, they can look at our physical earth and go, oh, it's such a limitation, it's such a restriction, it's so dense and heavy and ugh. And actually, what an incredible, incredible blessing that we all have, that you know, our earth has given us this opportunity. What an incredible blessing we all have to be in this opportunity. You know, the way, in the most simple form, the way I look at it is, if I was floating around the universe as a formless spirit, I wouldn't be able to enjoy chocolate cake, and that would be really, really sad. But there are so many other things, you know, in the tangibleness of everything that we have in this life, there is so much beauty that we get to experience, and there are limitations to it, but there's a good reason that our earth chose those limitations, partly selflessness of helping us all, and also because there's such beauty in it.
Well, you hit on one of the great subtleties of metaphysics there, something which Dr. King said that the theosophists, that if Madame Blavatsky had recognized, it would have added a lot to the teachings, because you, instead of walking through the door to your next initiation, if you step back, this is one of the great, you know, the galaxy is a living being, only a part of which is in manifestation. It doesn't need to be a manifestation. It's stepped back. The earth is stepped back to serve the ascended masters, instead of going on to live on other planets once they've gone through enlightenment, cosmic consciousness, ascension. Instead of incarnating on Venus or Mars, they stay in Shambhala or on the earth, you know, in Mount Shasta or the ascended masters, they walk among us serving. They could have gone on. And this is, you know, when you die, you go to another realm of existence. You go to the higher realms. If you've been good, you go to the very high realms. If you've been very good, you stay there, you learn. And then you come back. We're all born together on the physical plane. And we have to walk among, you know, you're obviously from a higher plane. And now you're having to walk among many people who have come up, who are coming up from lower realms. And therefore, you know, you see, you know, we're dealing with their problems as well as problems that they've made. You know, maybe I'm coming up from there as well. I'm not judging, but we're all here together on the physical, mixing together. And
that's it, isn't it? We're all here. So almost in a sense, it doesn't matter where we've come from in this moment, because what matters is that we are all here and we all have a job to do to support ourselves and to support one another, as we're all in this together. And I think there's such a, again, it's really easy to look at that, as you just alluded to there, Jack, as you were speaking. You know, there's no judgment here. There's no judgment. You know, we all have problems with our own making in some sense. And it's also really easy for us to get into a mindset of judgment.
Mm. Yeah, and we've got the galaxy can't go back to God until every being in it has risen up, and we are suffering because we haven't, in past lives, we haven't done enough to help everyone else. We haven't risen everything up. So they come back, they incarnate, and they still cause a lot of trouble. And so, you know, we've got to help everyone, educate everyone else around us. You know, you can give healing, you could give service, but education is really what's going to make a difference to the next life, the life after that. So we need to raise all the boats here.
Absolutely.
Well, unless you have anything to add, Deborah, I think we've had a wonderful conversation.
I think so.
How can people learn more about you then? How should they stay in touch? How can they join these Zoom meetings? And how can they?
So I guess there's two things. In terms of me, the best place is my website, which is KerenRowntree.com. In terms of Project Earthwork, it's projectearthwork.org. Both are linked from one another. So if you go to one, you'll be able to find the other. And we are, the best way to be notified when Project Earthwork goes live each month is via YouTube. We have a YouTube channel that you can search for and subscribe to that. We're going to be doing a transmission for Winter Solstice on the 21st of December. So that's the next one we have coming up as I speak to you. But who knows when it will be as you're watching. We do something every single month. So just keep an eye out for that. But I do want to say before I close that off, thank you both so much. This was such a nourishing conversation, and I genuinely, you know, it's funny, isn't it, how we're sent exactly what we need in the moment. And this morning I got on and was just feeling a little bit, it's really shifted my energy for the day. So thank you both so much for this.
Oh, that means a lot. Thank you very much.
Yeah, glad to see you.
And if people would like to learn more about the Aetherius Society, then go to aetherius.org. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you both so much. That was really, truly lovely. Thank you.